coming?
Okay, if we can get started, we just have two bills on the agenda. I should indicate to members, I know I scared everybody yesterday on the floor. As I was speaking, I caught Senator Miller's face as I suggested I would be here Saturday. Okay, I was kidding.
Family plans.
Because I realized that Friday is the third deadline, so we have to have the bill out by Senator Miller.
Mr. Chair, I don't care if you're here on Saturday or not. I will not be here. So.
It's a birthday.
So we're not going to be here on Saturday because it's the third deadline. But we will be here until the end of the night Friday if we don't finish the bill before. So,
Mr. Chair.
But, Senator Peterson.
You're going to miss most of the film festival then this weekend.
I'm prepared to do that just so I can see the final four on Saturday.
All right, okay.
So,
well, Mr. Chairman, I think it might be the art crawl this weekend, too, in St. Paul. I know you hate to miss that.
I'll miss that one for sure. So, because I'll probably be working here Saturday on the budget stuff anyway. So we're hoping – I'll tell you, just in all seriousness – the fiscal staff, Mr. Nauman, and all the fiscal analysts, Mr. Bodern, and all the attorneys are working like crazy to put this thing together. And how we'll handle this procedure, well, I'll have a chance to talk to the chairs later today, but we'll have a large bill in front of us. We'll have separate articles to be presented. We'll combine everything then into obviously one supplemental finance bill, as we've done the Senate for, as best I know, decades. But it's going to obviously take some effort for people to work through it because all of you are on a finance division but not on all these divisions. So we're doing everything at once. But we do need to have the bill out, and so I guess Saturday will not be the case, but for all I know, Friday at midnight, 1 in the morning, whatever, until we finish this thing. So and then we will have – meetings next week. We've got some major bills. We have Senator Champion, who's not here, has an expansion bill. I've worked with Representative Pawlowski since the summer on a disaster bill relative to the special session we had. We've got some other bills to hear in the committee next week. Where there is money tied into the bills, we'll be tracking that in the supplemental finance bill. So That's where things are. I think we'll be in decent shape for tomorrow morning when we meet, but that's because the staff is killing themselves to put this thing together. So,
Mr. Chair, tomorrow morning starting on Friday.
On Friday,
can we get an early start so we can be out of here by dinner time?
Well, remember we're in session.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas?
Mr. Chairman, we did, Senator Steben and I did hear this morning that session is going to be very short to accommodate your committee schedule.
Okay. So we'll start, you know, we can start 8 o'clock on Friday if people would like. And then we'll break for session whenever that is and come back. And if folks hurry back from the floor, you know, we'll get going that much more quickly.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a request, and I know the staff is working on this very hard, but my request would be is to please get us the bill that we're going to be looking at as soon as possible to just to give us an opportunity to look at it.
Yes.
I would appreciate that very much.
Yeah, Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Newman, I want to take this opportunity to say that the minority staff has approached me about having a spreadsheet that would show what the divisions, a summary document essentially that shows what the divisions sent to the full finance committee. I need to add a footnote and then it will be posted on the web as soon as we're done here. So that'll be almost, that's part of the package that I think members will find helpful.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. And Senator Newman, just to supplement that, when we've had supplemental finance bills, at least while I've been chairman, I don't, you know, run over the chairman of the divisions, and if I was so inclined, we got them all sitting on this committee, so I'd have some difficulty. So by and large, what you'll see is what's come out of the divisions. Now, there are some variations on the theme because there are pieces that keep on changing, and I've had discussions with the chairs in the last 24 hours, and I'm talking to the chairs in the next 2 or 3 hours. There are a couple I haven't had a chance to talk to yet. So there are some changes from changes from where the divisions were, but by and large, what came out of the divisions is what you'll see.
Okay.
So if that provides some, I don't want reassurance, but you'll see what we'll have is basically what came out of the divisions, and my intent is to make changes by amendment so that whatever we're doing will be, I won't incorporate it into the bill, so now you got to go through this huge bill and try to find out what's changed. I'll do it by amendment.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, any other questions about the schedule or what we're trying to do? So we've got two bills, Senate File 874, Senator Thompson, who's been very busy in front of this committee recently. So, well, Senator Latz moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Thompson.
Mr. Chairman and members, thank you. We are here on Rule 47. This bill had passed out of this committee during the 2013 session and went to the floor. The reason there has been some delay is they had a little different approach to this bill in the House and had some things to work out there. And in fact, Senator Latz, I believe, will be offering an amendment here to get the two bills married up. Just very briefly, Mr. Chairman and members, Senate File 874 requires an admission of guilt, a conviction, diversion, or stay of adjudication for drug-related crimes as a prerequisite for people to lose their property through a civil forfeiture. In other words, under current law, you could literally be arrested on a drug-related crime, have your car confiscated or other property confiscated. The prosecutor could determine there's insufficient evidence to bring charges against you, but you still may have to go through a civil forfeiture proceeding to get your property back. This legislation would change that so that if, in fact, there was no conviction, diversion, admission of guilt of any kind, that the individual would not have to go through the civil procedure to get their property back. Mr. Chairman, unless the committee feels differently, I'm not going to go into any more detail than that. As I indicated, this bill did pass out of here last year. I am told there has been no impact on the fiscal note, which shows no fiscal impact whatsoever. So with that, I would stand for questions, and then my understanding is Senator Latz may have an amendment here to help us. So however the chairman would like to proceed, let's go ahead.
And I just want to point out to members that attached to the bill is a chart that shows how the bill works and then also deals with the A2 amendment. So members can take a look at that as well. We do have the amendment. Senator Latz,
I'd like to move the A2 amendment.
Okay, that's attached, so it's already been distributed. Senator Thompson, Senator Latz, you want to discuss the amendment and how it's a number of pages. So,
Mr. Chairman, I would, since Senator Latz has offered it and is probably familiar with it, I would ask that either he or Mr. McGrath here to my left, Lee McGrath, could describe it. I just want to indicate to the committee that it is a friendly amendment. We are in agreement that this is the direction we need to go in order to get this passed by both the House and the Senate without specific opposition. And so with that, Mr. McGrath or Senator Latz, if you'd like to describe it, that'd be great.
Mr. McGrath.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Lee McGrath. I'm the executive director of the Institute for Justice Minnesota chapter. What I'd like to do is focus the committee's attention on box 5 on the side-by-side comparison. Under law today, when I get stopped in your district, Mr. Chairman, my person goes into criminal court and my car and my cash go into civil court. If I file a lawsuit and convert that case to a judicial hearing, what this bill does is require a conviction as a prerequisite in criminal court before I lose my cash or my car in civil court. What the amendment does is add some equivalence to the conviction in criminal court. Those equivalents are that I receive a stay of adjudication, or I agree to a diversion in criminal court, or I agree to be an informant, or I admit to some guilt in a drug-related, under a drug-related charge. So in essence, what the amendment does is just flesh out and add more clarity and a little bit more substance as to what makes up that prerequisite in criminal court that must be introduced in civil court and be the first step of the litigation that goes on regarding my car and my cash and whether they're forfeited in civil court.
Questions, Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Sure. Mr. McGrath, maybe you can give us a little history, I think, for the members to understand how this came about, the civil forfeiture law in the first place, and at that time, what was the rationale behind it? Can you help us?
Senator Ingebrigtsen, Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, if I go too far on this, you can stop me, but civil forfeiture dates back 400 years to the King of England, and the king was incapable of putting his hands and apprehending shippers and those who were violating tariff and tax laws. And so he created civil forfeiture to seize the ship and the cargo in lieu of being able to apprehend the shipper. It wasn't used very much until the prohibition in the United States, and it's become somewhat more popular in the United States, in all 50 states in the federal government, since the mid-80s as part of greater prosecution on the issue of illegal drugs. But today, in all states, even when the suspect is apprehended in criminal court, in all but one state, his assets are litigated in civil court. And nothing that this bill does changes this two-track system of the person being in criminal court and the assets being in civil court.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it can, the word can be litigated. Tell me how the process does work on a drug forfeiture. It isn't just automatically litigated. There has to be some thought go into this. Is it the county attorney's responsibility, prosecutor's responsibility? Do they confer with law enforcement on this?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, when I'm suspected and arrested, I have a decision in civil court. I have to decide to file the lawsuit McGrath versus 2007 Chevrolet Tahoe or McGrath versus $962 in U.S. currency. If I don't file the lawsuit, and most people don't, 97% of people don't, if I don't file the lawsuit, then my property is handled as abandoned property through an administrative process in the prosecutor's office. If I do file the civil lawsuit and convert this case to a judicial forfeiture, not an administrative forfeiture, then under this bill, the burden falls on the prosecutor to prove that the cash was the proceeds of the crime and the car was the instrument of the crime.
So the follow-up, Mr. Chair, so 97% of the folks that have their assets taken by generally law enforcement and held do not come back after it, basically.
Senator Ingebrigtsen and Mr. Chairman, this bill changes none of the economics that property owners face. The average seizure in Minnesota is only about $1,200. So therefore, when I'm considering whether I'm going to incur costs to file that case, I have to consider the costs of litigation and in hiring a good criminal defense attorney relative to the property. And for 97% of people, for various reasons, including economics, it is rational just to walk away. So today, only 3% of property owners do file that lawsuit, McGrath versus 2007 Chevrolet Tahoe, to convert to a judicial forfeiture.
Mr. Chair, just one more follow-up, if I could. So during the forfeiture proceedings, there's a financial mechanism there that splits those dollars. Can you talk about that real quickly? And,
yes.
And that's why, Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if this is a financial implication that we need to know about, or isn't it enough to even put on the radar?
Senator Ingebrigtsen, Chairman Cohen, after the forfeiture is finished in civil court, under Minnesota law, the proceeds, should the state win that forfeiture case, and I lose that forfeiture case, my car gets sold, the proceeds get split, and the split is 10-20-70. 10% of the proceeds go into the General Treasury, 20% go to supplement the budget of prosecutors, 70% go to supplement the budgets of the sheriff and police officers and other members of law enforcement. That does not change. That formula exists in most cases. In some cases, there's a 40-40-20 mix, but in drug cases, it's 10-20-70. That formula is not changed by this bill, and the modesty of this bill dictates that the change in economics will not be so significant, because the underlying economics of my saying, well, I only lost $1,200 in cash, I'm not going to file this case, I'm just going to walk away, the underlying economics are not changed.
Just one more question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the dollars that are that go into the coffers of the county attorney as well as the law enforcement, there's some guidelines as to how that can be spent. Can you go over that a little bit for us? Ask that question, Mr. Chair and members, is that we're seeing just recently in the talk of medical marijuana forfeitures, and of course we're going right back to drug forfeituring again, as law enforcement fighting that because it's a cash cow for them. And I would really like to get some clarity to that so people understand where those dollars are spent. And I think the folks should probably know, and if they don't, they should ask the sheriff or the chief how well the public really, really likes being able to spend drug dealers' money on fighting drugs, not only at the criminal angle, but also at the DARE program angle. So I'd like to be able to at least get that out and hear that a little bit.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, Mr. Chairman, in total, the amount of seizure and forfeiture in a year is roughly $8 million. And approximately half of it is drug-related. So we're talking about a relatively modest amount of money of approximately $4 million that is related to drug forfeiture, compared to the hundreds of millions of dollars in budgets that law enforcement is entrusted to expend. So this is really tiny at the margin in terms of law enforcement's impact on budgets. Law enforcement is charged with has the guidelines to spend this on things like training, one-off purchases. They can keep cars that they seize. You often see a car on the highway referencing that it was seized through a drug-related forfeiture. But in general, Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, law enforcement knows that it has a narrow window to use these proceeds in advancing rehabilitation and further work of law enforcement.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McGrath. And I liked your history recitation. We don't do enough of that around here. And actually clarified some things in my mind, because I thought the forfeiture stuff began with the Douglas County Sheriff a number of years ago, and I guess I was mistaken. And I appreciate
appreciate the clarification. Further questions?
So, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Mr. McGrath, so you would not call this in any way, shape, or form a cash cow for law enforcement? A real serious question.
A very serious question, Senator Ingebrigtsen, and Mr. Chairman.
This is on the record.
It's all on the record, Senator. Senator and Mr. Chairman, one always has concerns about incentives. And how what people, human nature, and how one responds to incentives. But as it relates to drugs, the subject in Minnesota is approximately $4 million a year. And for the vast majority of members of law enforcement, I don't believe that this is a major distortion to their first responsibility to administrate law enforcement properly.
Okay, Senator Latz.
Mr. Chairman, there have been other bills in the past that did additional work along the line of what Senator Ingebrigtsen is raising that would separate out that incentive to the extent that it exists and send forfeiture proceeds to, for example, the Commissioner of Public Safety to be redistributed as grants to law enforcement agencies in the grant process that would separate the direct financial benefit that individual law enforcement agencies would receive from successful forfeitures. That is not a part of this bill, and it's not affected in any way by this bill.
Senator Westrum.
Mr. Chair, Mr. McGrath, you talked about the 3%. Under this bill, my impression is it makes it slightly easier, or maybe easier is the wrong word, but more due process or equal justice if somebody's not convicted. Do you foresee that 3% number increasing because we perceive we're putting a more fair or objective process in here for somebody that's gone through the system and not convicted or not guilty of what somebody's accused them of?
Senator Westrum, Mr. Chairman, I hope it changes, the percentage grows a bit, but the economics are still going to be the same, that the size of seizure is still going to be around $1,200, and it's still 95% of seizures in Minnesota are less than $5,000. So I do see that number growing from 3% and due process being improved for some. Maybe it grows to 4-5%, but I don't see a major change from the status quo ante.
Okay, further questions? We've got Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Mr. Chairman, meeting about Douglas County up, I think I should have a comment. Just to let the folks know on a serious note that I was involved in a very large forfeiture some years back where guns were confiscated and property was confiscated, and there was, I think, pretty accurate history that the drug dealer that was convicted had no work history for almost 20 years. And so it was I don't know if the word is easy, but it was quite clear that the person's property was purchased with proceeds coming from illegal activity. One of the things we did purchase in Douglas County is we purchased a command post, a mobile command post, with that money. And on the side of that mobile command post, I put on there, as Mr. McGrath talked about on cars, this piece of property was purchased with drug dealers' money. And again, seriously, the public, when they see that at the fair where there's an office headquarters actually set up or at a crime scene or at a dive team situation, the public really looks at that and they go, you know, really that seems to make a lot of sense to use their proceeds. So it is a real positive thing. Yes, and it can be abused. I mean, we know that too. A couple of years ago we talked about that. But I think we dealt with that. So there are going to be bad apples. But overall, it's been a good program.
Right. Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to Senator Ingebrigtsen's point, given a conviction, this bill would do nothing to change that circumstance. This bill is put in place to protect people who are not, that there was no finding or admission of wrongdoing.
We have Senator Latz's motion on the A2 amendment in front of us. Is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. further discussion on Senate File 874? Motions? Anybody? Senator Latz?
I'll move the bill.
Senator Latz moves that Senate File 874 as amended be recommended pass. Is there further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Thompson.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members, and Senator Latz in particular for your help. Thank you.
Okay, then, members, we have one other bill. It's not a minor bill, but it's a procedural bill. Senator Peterson, Senate File 2466. This bill found its way to the Finance Committee by happenstance and accident. There was a referral made. It really doesn't need to be here. And Senator Peterson and I talked about how to handle this procedurally, and I said the best way to do it, since it wasn't the Finance Committee, to make sure we kept track of things was simply to hear the bill and just send it to the floor. So I would suggest we don't need discussion on this. Again, it was here, and this happens, members, occasionally, where when a bill is reviewed, it might appear on the surface to have a fiscal aspect to it, and once in a while a bill will find its way to the committee where that's not the case. I think we had a bill like that last year. So, Senator Fischbach moves that Senate File 2466 be recommended to pass. Discussions on that? Senator Peterson, I'd offer you a chance to say something, but you probably don't want to get in the way of this. But
he speaks.
No comment, now. Mr. Chair.
Good. Okay. A very, very smart member.
Thank you, Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chairman, renewing my motion.
Understand. Senator Fischbach moves the Senate File 2466 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify.
Mr. Chair, 1 second.
Senator Engelbertson.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Could you repeat to me why we're not having any discussion on this bill?
Because it came to this committee by mistake, and it was not a bill that should have been in the Finance Committee in the first place.
Right.
Mr. Chair, Senator Engelbertson, it is difficult for you to admit that there was a mistake. So we're just trying to help you along and ease you through this this admission in public that there was a mistake.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to talk about it, but if you don't want to, that's fine.
But Engelbertson kind of.
Senator Fischbach, I'm compelled to point out it was not my mistake.
Oh, but, Mr. Chair, I beg your forgiveness. I'm sorry I made that mistake.
I'll offer my forgiveness on that. maybe I'll think about that. So we have Senator Fischbach's motion. I've almost forgotten it. That Senate File 2466.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Tomasoni.
What if we don't want this to leave this committee?
Then just vote no.
Then vote no.
You could ask for a roll call. Yeah. So do we have any other members who are going to cause trouble? Okay. So we have Senator Fischbach's motion. Save it for tomorrow. Well, actually, don't save it for tomorrow. That's my bill.
Mr. Chair, I was simply trying to be helpful.
Yeah. So Senator Fischbach, if I recall correctly, moves that Senate File 2466 be recommended to pass. I don't see any further discussion. All those in favor signify.